Now, a film came out last year that created a lot of buzz and was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. It was called Get Out. The story followed a young black man visiting the countryside estate of his white girlfriend's parents and the bizarre and horrifying events that followed. The film used satire, horror, and surrealistic elements to portray the young man's terrifying experience during the visit. Our next guest says Get Out is part of a trend in pop culture of surrealism and absurdity being used to portray the realities facing black people in the United States. Maya Phillips is a freelance arts and entertainment writer who's written for the New York Times, Vulture, and Slate. She wrote an article on Slate.com about an art form she's calling the new black surrealism. I talked to her earlier this week. Can you start us out by defining this phrase you use in the piece we're talking about, new black surrealism?
Sure. So I'm kind of doing a new take on something that's already been around. Mm-hmm. So that's Afro-surrealism. And, you know, poet, playwright, activist Amir Baraka, he first used that term back in 1974 to talk about the writing of Henri Dumas. And in 2009, this writer, D. Scott Miller, he came up with a more comprehensive definition. And he wrote a whole Afro-surreal manifesto that you can find it online. So in my own definition, based on what I've been seeing lately in the media, I'd say that it's artwork that uses strange elements, surreal elements, and whether that's in the plotting, in the characters, in the dialogue, visual aesthetic, tone, any of that, to create a true picture of Black American life. So it's real, but it's also dreamlike. Totally recognizable from what we see in the real world, but also totally dissimilar in some respects.
The idea is there are absurdities in the way we deal with race in America and in the reality of being black in America that it's more true to have these fantastical elements to describe them than just a real realistic thing. Am I getting that right?
Yes. I'm not necessarily sure if I would say it's more true, but I would definitely say it's an alternative way of illustrating that truth.
Can you talk about some of the movies and TV shows that are using some of these elements?
So I definitely would mention the TV series Atlanta. I think that's a fantastic example of it. I mean, it's a fantastic show overall, but it just has a general surrealist feel to it. That is definitely, you know, it's heavily features black actors. You know, it's written by black writers and creator Donald Glover, he's black, and it's just about black life in Atlanta. And, you know, people have talked about it as being kind of horror, kind of just very obscure, but that's part of that's Afro-surrealism, the new black surrealism, as I define it.
I'm sorry, who is this dude?
Darius,
no,
man.
That's fine, we're talking
there,
right here.
When you first walked in, I gave you a cookie.
No, yeah, I remember who you are. Look, I'm not asking for money.
You should be. Ain't you homeless?
Not real homeless. Not using a rat as a phone or something.
Don't be racist, man. Like, that make you schizophrenic. That don't make you homeless.
Wait, not if it worked, man. Nah, if you could use a rat as a phone, man, that'd be genius. I mean, it's like 5 rats for every 1 person in New York alone. Everybody would have an affordable phone. Yeah, man, I mean, it'd be messy, but worth it.
Let's stay with Atlanta for a second. Can you give us an example of how, like, surreal elements happen on the screen as we're watching?
Well, I think the example that a lot of people were talking about when it aired was the Teddy Perkins episode. You know, we have Donald Glover in this really bizarre character. He's nightmarish, really, in whiteface.
Most people wouldn't understand. To make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. I mean, to build bridges, people have to fall.
Are you not mad at your dad?
Of course not. There was no way for a child to understand what's at stake. He just wanted the best for us. My father used to say, great things come from great pain.
It's those moments of just kind of strangeness that it's kind of like a dream and might be a little bit horrific, but we're still in the real world.
And another one that's getting a lot of attention right now is this movie that's just come out, Sorry to Bother You. And it's clear from the trailer there's something surreal going on. I haven't seen this one yet, so don't spoil it for me too much. I gather there are big twists toward the end. But give us a sense of how this new black surrealism plays out in Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah, there definitely is a huge twist. I definitely won't spoil that for you. You can just see that for yourself. But yeah, to sum it up, there's this telemarketer, Cassius Green, and he discovers his quote-unquote white voice, which is just David Cross's voice dubbed over his. And he suddenly becomes super successful, and he decides to make some morally compromising choices to maintain his success.
Hey, Youngblood, let me give you a tip. Use your white voice.
Man, I ain't got no white voice.
Oh, come on, you know what I mean. You have a white voice in there, you can use it. You want to make some money here? Then read the script with a white voice.
When people say I talk with a white voice anyway, so why ain't it helping me out?
Well, you don't talk white enough. I'm not talking about Will Smith white. I'm talking about the real deal. Like this young blood.
Hey, Mr. Kramer. This is Langston from Regalview. I didn't catch you at the wrong time, did I?
So there's definitely a lot of criticism in there about race, racial performance, and capitalism. But the real elements of it are in the characters' interactions, in the filming, which is it's very loud and cartoonish, and, of course, certainly in the plot, which spins out in a very crazy direction once we get to the halfway point of the movie, which is the big twist I won't spoil. But it becomes very clear that, you know, we have kind of distanced ourselves from reality at that point.
Talking to Maya Phillips, freelance arts and entertainment writer, talking about a piece she wrote on Slate.com about a surrealism, new black surrealism. She calls it absurdity as a way to talk about race in America. And Maya, another movie you point to as an example that got a lot of attention, this one I have seen, but still we probably shouldn't spoil it too much for people who haven't, Get Out. Can you talk about that one a little?
So, yeah, Get Out. You know, the whole premise is, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but, you know, basically white people can take over the bodies of black people. And that idea, just like, for example, the scene of the auction, that's a great surrealist scene because that is very much based in reality. It's based in the history of slave auctions. But to see that scene enacted in a contemporary world, you know, obviously a fictional contemporary world, but a fictional contemporary world that looks very much like, you know, the real contemporary world, to see that and to see these white people commodify a body and to use stereotypes to figure out what its value is just, I mean, that's the surrealist element, but it's not too far off from what we know historically and, you know, what we know culturally, what happens in the interactions, racist interactions between groups.
Such a privilege to be able to experience another person's culture. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're gonna love this. My dad's claim to fame was beat by Jesse Owens in the qualifying round for the Berlin Olympics in 1936. Those are the ones where
Owens won in front of Hitler.
Yeah, what a moment. I mean, Hitler's up there with all his perfect Aryan race bull. This black dude comes along, proves him wrong in front of the entire world. Amazing.
Tough break for your dad, though.
Yeah. He almost got over it. That's the basement. We had to seal it up. Some black mold down there.
Why now? Why are we seeing these examples of surrealism in these fairly prominent movies and TV shows?
Well, if you think of all the black deaths we've seen in the past few years, I mean, like, every day, the stories of police brutality, the Black Lives Matter movement, the stories that seem to pop up every day now about white people calling 911 on black people for no real reason. It seems obvious that this would be a new trend. You know, that's Donald Glover said that. That's the reason why he wanted to tackle the absurd in Atlanta, because of the reality of a TV celebrity being in the White House. And even Boots Riley, the director of Sorry to Bother You, has said that all these things are happening in the world, forces pushing people to make other choices, and art in the industry around it tries to respond to that. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
This is happening now, but in your piece, you point toward a longer heritage of black surrealism, Ralph Ellison and The Invisible Man being one example. These things have come up before in our art and literature.
Absolutely. I do think that there is a long tradition of that. When I talk about the new black surrealism, I describe it as more of a newer trend in TV and movies in particular, just because those are genres in which blackness in general has been a subject that has been mined less frequently because, you know, until recently, it seems like there is a sustaining belief that there weren't the black audiences for those mediums and that they wouldn't be profitable. Of course, like things like Black Panther has totally blown that idea out of the water. So I do think with every critically and commercially successful black TV show or film, that broadens the field and allows for different kinds of representations of blackness. But all that being said, I think that black surrealism was born within the genre of literature. As I said, Amiri Baraka used the term. You mentioned Ralph Ellison, and people mentioned Toni Morrison in that group as well. So, you know, there is a tradition of this, and I'm personally glad that we're seeing it more in movies and TV right now.
And you mentioned Black Panther, and you also write that as we see this new black surrealism happening, there's also this rise of the idea of Afrofuturism, kind of a science fiction element. Science fiction and fantasy are stereotypically seen as catering to a white audience. The reality has been there have been black authors and creators for decades and decades in both those fields. But do you see a new interest, a new acceptance of the idea that, hey, fantasy and science fiction, there can be a black audience for those genres, too?
Oh, absolutely. I'm obviously a black nerd. And, you know, I like those genres as well. And I enjoy Black Panther. And yeah, I think people really underestimate, or rather Hollywood, or you could say, or whoever has the big money, who's producing TV shows or anything. You know, I think there's a tendency to underestimate how the diversity of audiences, even within a black audience, the diversity that's there. There is no one type of black movie or black TV show, and they can cross genres, and there will be audiences for it.
We'll leave it there for now. Maya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Maya Phillips, a freelance arts and entertainment writer. We were talking about the new black surrealism, an art form that's showing up in movies and TV shows that use satire and absurdity to shine a light on racial issues in the United States.